something we do want to get at with Art Against Ageism is that erasing that shame. Why should there be shame? I mean, aging is living. You can't live without aging. People are aging every day. So why should we feel ashamed of being older or aging, right?
Welcome to Zestful Aging, where I speak with fascinating people from all over the world, from every walk of life, who will inspire you to live with zest. I'm your host, Nicole Christina, and my mission is to bring you optimism about aging and help you make full use of the new opportunities that only come at this stage of life. To find out more about the podcast, hop on over to zestfulaging.com. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Insider, where you will get fun and quirky tidbits about the show and my exploits, including when I went python hunting in Florida and my participation in the National Senior Games. And if you love the podcast, I'd be grateful if you shared it with your friends. Our music is courtesy of Judy Banker, who was a previous guest on the show. Find out more at judybanker.com. And our technical director is Stephen Littweiler. Well, if you've been listening to this podcast and you've been living in the world, you're acutely aware of the pernicious effects of ageism here in the U.S. and across the globe. But the good news is that there are a number of projects that are being developed to challenge this tired narrative of decline and decay. Today, we're going to speak with Meg Laporte, who's the co-founder of Art Against Ageism, which exists not only to create and promote actions that tackle damaging stereotypes about age and aging in creative ways, but also to help others create their own campaigns that seek to raise awareness of and dismantle ageism. Welcome to the show, Meg.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm excited to hear about this project. Let's start with, you know, you and your history. And I know that you have spent many years working to improve elder care.
Yeah. So I have, for a long time, I'd say about 22 years, I've been working in the field known as aging services. Some people call it senior living. Others call it long-term and post-acute care. I guess I prefer to call it aging services or elder care, actually. And so in that work, I've worked for various organizations, nonprofits mostly. And at some point, I ended up as a managing editor of a magazine that served long-term and post-acute care professionals. Those are people who work in nursing homes and assisted living communities. And in that work, I had the great fortune of interviewing people who have all kinds of different jobs in those sort of settings. So administrators, nursing home administrators, executive directors of assisted living facilities, nurses, directors of nursing, CNAs, all kinds of owners and operators. And I loved that work so much. I found out so many interesting things about why people ended up working in the business, what was their passion. Many of them had elder care as their passion. And so at some point, I realized I loved it. I loved the work. I loved telling their stories. And so at some point, I realized I really want to talk to elders, the people who live, many of the people who live in these settings. And so I started a blog called Age in America, which you and I have talked about before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that work led to what I'm doing now, I would say, and to make a long story short, it led to, but in the work that I did before with the magazine, for example, it really was, I discovered my passion for elder care and for improving elder care. And it has just really just led me down a path that is so much so very interesting to me and so much fun. And the work with Age in America led to, as I said, led to this work with, to founding, I really would say, Art Against Ageism.
How does the art come in? Because the ageism is obvious, right, to all of us. How did you decide to blend art with tackling ageism?
That's a very good question. So when I founded or created Age in America, I realized at some point that it was a creative way to get people to change their perspectives about being older and older adults or age and aging. So that led to me teaching a course at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where I had previously received my master's degree. It was an undergraduate course, and I cannot remember the title of it, but I decided I was asked to create the curriculum. And the dean of the school at the time really liked my blog, The Age in America, knew me because he was the dean of my school, where I graduated from, and he suggested I teach a course. So the curriculum I came up with was how to leverage art and activism or artistic activism to change perspectives about aging and to tackle ageism. And in addition to that, I have a passion for art. I am somewhat of a creative. Well, I would call myself a creative. I would call myself an artist, but I'm not very good at the art that I do create. I love to paint. I love pastels. I've done oils in acrylics, but I'm not that great. Although I have a history in my family of some really great artists. I love art. I've always had a passion for art. Mm. So for me, it was really easy to bring those two together.
Mm. Your two passions, the things that light you up.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So you have this idea, you know, you're starting to think about how can I meld these two things, the activism and the art, and then how does it develop from there?
So when I was creating the curriculum, I discovered artistic activism. I had not heard the term before. And I actually discovered an organization called the Center for Artistic Activism. And you know how when you're online and you go down these rabbit holes?
Oh,
and,
yes.
Yes, and you find really fascinating things? Yeah,
yes.
So that's what I did. I discovered the Center for Artistic Activism. I spent a great deal of time on their website. I met the people there. I did a workshop with them so I could learn more about artistic activism. And that eventually led to, that helped with the course, of course, as well, of course. And mm-hmm. then it led to, helped me lead to the founding of the organization.
So this Center for Artistic Activism is not necessarily just about combating ageism.
No, the Center for Artistic Activism is about anybody who has who's an advocate or an activist who wants to tackle an issue and do it in a way that brings in artistic activism. So they help you inject artistic activism into your issue.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, voting, I know that they've done a lot of work with initiatives that are about getting out the vote and done some really creative things about that. And what I learned from them was, and by the way, I think their website is, I think if you just Google Center for Artistic Activism, you'll find them very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned was that throughout history, there have been that most any movement that tackles an issue has done so effectively by using artistic activism. And they describe artistic activism as taking the affect, mm-hmm. of art, the power of art, whether it be music, documentaries, storytelling, any kind of art form, the affect, the power that it has on people, right? If you think about a music, for example, how it has such great power and healing properties even, or you look at, you watch documentaries and it changes your perspective about something. You take that.
It hits you emotionally.
Exactly. So you take that and you combine it with the effect and the strategy around communications or marketing, the part of activism where you're trying to change people's minds. You combine those two, the affect and the effect, you get artistic activism.
You know, I'm thinking about what you're saying and the power, and you have some great examples on the website. And one of them I really loved, which was the aging cream. Can you talk about aging cream?
Yeah, that to me is an excellent example. So, and it's funny because my co-founder and I, when we do presentations, we show examples of artistic activism throughout history that is not really geared at ages, but others, like the AIDS quilt is one. And then we also show examples of artistic activism that do affect and that do tackle ageism. And one of them, that great example, is the aging cream. So the city of Toronto, I think it was in around about 2019, maybe before that, decided they wanted to do something to tackle ageism in the workforce. And they created these ads that they put on the buses and bus stops, I think, and maybe their subway too. And the ad, of course, is a picture of a photo of a jar that looks like that would have cream inside of it. And it's titled Aging Cream, as in age, not anti-aging, right?
That's the brilliance of it, because you do a double take. It looks like a high-end something that's, we're always getting hammered with, buy this, your crow's feet will disappear, you're this, you're that. And it takes you a minute to say, wait a minute. That's not anti-aging cream. It's so clever.
Exactly. So it is very clever, right? And that is a great example, I think, of artistic activism, because hopefully what people did, I presume, was they looked at this and they did exactly what you did. Like, what? Wait a minute. I don't want to age. And it speaks to, which could be a whole other topic we could talk about, is the multi-billion dollar anti-aging industry. But this example, and what's funny is it says on the ad, introducing the world's first aging cream, and then something about restore up to 5 times the confidence on the job, maximize concerns over your reliability and skill set, increase respect. And I think it also says something like aging cream doesn't exist, but the value of older employees does. So it's really, I think that's such a great example.
Such a great example. The other one that, as you say, hits affectively, at least for me, is the F their aging standards.
Yes, that's another one that I love. I absolutely love that one. That one I found on Instagram. And by the way, we founded this organization during the pandemic. So I spent a lot of time, I ended up spending a lot of time in social media, like a lot of other people during the pandemic, and would go down rabbit holes where I found incredible things on Instagram, artists and artistry and people tackling the different isms through their art. And I did find F their aging standards. And this, I think they are incredible. They make all kinds of products like bags and hats and shirts. And she produces, the woman who does it, and I don't remember her name, but the woman who does it produces art, which is using a lot of text too. And I think it's aimed at women 50 and over. That was her mission to do that. And she posted on Instagram, but then she also has a site where she sells the products that are really about just looking at how ridiculous anti-aging, the anti-aging industry is, but also looking at just having sort of speaking to women about how you could wear anything you want. What does it matter? Don't worry about what people think, how old you are, that kind of thing. So
the standards, right? The rules.
Right.
Hi, everyone. You may have noticed that Zestful Aging Podcast does not run a lot of ads. That's because I'm just not willing to endorse products that I don't have total confidence in and that I don't use myself. So it really means something when I tell you that after I interviewed Dr. Bill Rawls on cellular health, read his books, and learned about his high standards for quality control, I was sold. I placed an order for Vital Plant supplements immediately. I encourage you to check out both of my interviews with Dr. Bill Rawls and hop on over to vitalplan.com. If you enter Zestful15, they will give you a 15% off of your first order. I'm really excited for you to try these products. I think you'll be very impressed. Now, back to the show. I saw a meme that I passed around on Facebook that I just loved, and I didn't recognize the author, but it said, I know I'm supposed to feel ashamed and, you know, poorly about my age and anxious, but I love it so much. I love being older so much. I just can't possibly do that. And it was another way to kind of flip it on its
head. Exactly. That's fascinating. Yep. And I think, you know, something we do want to get at with Art Against Ageism is that erasing that shame. Why should there be shame? I mean, aging is living. You can't live without aging. People are aging every day. So why should we feel ashamed of being older or aging, right?
Biology.
Exactly. I mean, if we weren't, what's the alternative to aging, right? Think about that.
Right. I think about one certain influencer who talked about, she said something like, I would eat dog poop if it helped me stay younger and look younger. And I thought, what a horrible dilemma to be so anxious about aging that's what takes up your brain space and you're never going to win that battle.
Exactly. I do.
It's like a prison.
Yeah, it is a prison. And I think, well, again, I could just, you know, there's so many ways you could think about this. And I think I do remember that. I think I posted it and did something that I call a fixed it on the headline.
Okay.
So that's something that we created as part of Art Against Ageism, is where we fixed headlines, or I did actually, because I used to be an editor. And so I would see these anti-aging headlines like that and try to fix them to make them better or look better, and just sort of as a provocative way to.
That sounds fun, yeah. Actually, for someone like you. Is there a particular initiative that's your absolute favorite anti-ageism initiative?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I do really like the anti-aging cream, I don't think they have that around anymore. There's a really great video that someone did a few years ago. It's produced by someone, I think it's called Citizen Brain. And yeah, yes. And it's on the website, and it's called Age Without Ageism. I think the person's name is Josh Kornbluth. He has some kind of show on YouTube, and he does this great video. It's just, we're explaining ageism and how ridiculous ageism is. There are so many, and I'm sorry, it's hard for me to actually say.
That's okay. That's fine. And do you get a sense, and I don't know how you measure this, that this is getting through, that people are waking up to this ism and it's changing perception?
Yes, I do. I feel that way. And then again, you know, it could be that because I'm in it and I know, there are so many other entities that are working on ageism right now. There's an organization called Old School, and they have a website where they have all.
Ashton,
yes,
Applewhite.
Exactly. And so we've done a bit of work with them and are very close to them. Mm. And the space that I do a lot of work in and a lot of speaking in right now with Art Against Ageism is the aging services or senior living space. So I think it's extremely relevant, as you might imagine, to talk about ageism. And there are people, And certainly there are professionals in this, in that field who are actually recognizing how important it is to address and tackle ageism among the, among professionals in the field and among the many, many operators and owners that are in the field, because ageism affects, it can affect your health. It can affect your outcomes with regard to other, to diseases and things like that. It is across the board, I think, responsible in many ways for the original medical model of nursing home. You know, some people say that the original sin of the nursing home model was the medical model, but I think it really was ageism. I think that...
How so? What are you... could you explain
that?
Yeah,
so the old model of nursing home was, is really just to create... sort of based, I think, on hospitals. So create an economies of scale where you have shared rooms and you put people in sort of a warehouse type design so that you can utilize the economy of scale, as I said, to address care and deliver care.
Make it easier for the system.
Exactly. Which is the wrong thing to do. But I think it was, I also think that they were created because at the time it was a way of putting people behind walls, inside of walls, and away from our sight. So it's, it othered older adults. It currently still others older adults. Putting people away into a big giant building where you can't see them is a way of not addressing our own feelings about older or older or becoming older, I think. So to me, ageism is very much sort of the reason why the model, and the model, everyone recognizes now that the model is broken and has been broken for some time. So if you think about it in my perspective, if you use the lens of ageism or tackling ageism, and look at it that way, I think it will, it really helps you think about, reframe the model in many ways. So, and there are many people who, there are many organizations who are working on that and recognize that ageism, that the lens of ageism really has created the problems that we, the many problems that we have now with the nursing home and elder, other elder care models. So it's not, and I would, and I don't mean to call out anybody who's an owner, you know what I mean?
No,
so,
sure. We didn't know better, probably. One of the things that I've recently learned about, and I'm really curious to hear your perspective on this, is tokenizing sort of super duper achieving older people. In other words, here's a 95-year-old woman who just swam across the, I'm making it up, the English Channel. Yay, you know, look what we can do as a super ager. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about shining the light on people who are really unusual in their accomplishments at an older age. What are your thoughts about that?
That's a good question. And so I think super agers are great. I think it's fabulous that there are many super agers. And I think in some ways it helps, it does help people to see super agers and recognize, oh, not everybody who's 95 years old is in a rocking chair, right? Or or has a disability. So I think that's fabulous. However, the majority of people who are 95 or 80 or older or a little bit younger do not have that, those super age abilities. And that's okay. It doesn't, I don't think that, I think it's sort of in many ways by amplifying the super agers, it can also damage the view that, or the reality that there are people who are normal. And, or that people who, that people who are 85 or around that age don't have,
I understand what you're saying. The idea that that's not typical, yay for you, it's great. But if you're not swimming, you know, whatever, for 3 hours a day,
right,
you're fine.
Right, exactly.
I found that to be a bit of a rude wake-up call because, you know, when people contact me that are, you know, guests or I see people and I think, wow, you know, they're doing this amazing stuff, hiking in Nepal, going, doing all this stuff. And then I read or someone pointed out to me, you know, that often makes sort of the regular ager feel inadequate, like, wow, I'm just, you know, dealing with my bum leg, trying to take a walk with my dog.
Exactly.
So it's that, that comparison that can feel a little unrealistic and maybe harmful.
Exactly. So I think in some ways it may put the onus on people who are not super agers to feel like they should be. And there's no reason.
That's the best way to say it. I found that it because I participate in the National Senior Games and it's awesome. I love it. And there's such a vibe there that people are just so joyful. But there is this culture of here's a 100-year-old power swimmer. And that's, you know, what they do because it's athletics. But I thought, wow, you know, what about the, you know, the regular person who, you know, hikes their dog or walks their dog or gardens. And so that's a new kind of a new concept right. for me. I just thought I'd put it
exactly.
out there. So what about the regular person? Let's talk about the regular aging person. What can they do to participate either formally in your organization or informally to get on this bandwagon of art and combating ageism?
Sure. So we are also an alliance. And what that means is we welcome anybody who is interested in combating ageism to join us in helping us come up with and amplify and identify artistic endeavors that tackle and confront ageism. So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're just interested, you're welcome to join us. We are actually, if anything, we are actually having our first, what we're calling an alliance gathering next week, in which we are just asking anybody who's interested to join us for an hour while we talk about the different endeavors that we're working on and partnering with other organizations on, to give their feedback and input about how we can make it, how we can sort of inject it with artistic activism and ensure that it's creative and effective. So.
And this is via internet or
yes.
is it in
No, it's a, we're going to do a Zoom call. So, yeah.
Okay. And so where is the best place to find out more?
That's a good question. So if, I haven't put it on the website, and I should have. What I did was I sent it to a group of people, and I think I must have put it on social media, I think, and I probably will. But if you go to Art Against Ageism, at the bottom, you can sign up for the newsletter or just, and so if somebody wants to, they could put their email in and I'll send it to them. So.
Sounds wonderful. This is so exciting. It brings this whole different kind of energy and power, I think, to calling out ageism.
I think so too. And I think it resonates with people because it's not just lecturing people about ageism and how to stop ageism. But it helps to inject some creativity and actually fun into the process. In my opinion, that's what it does. So,
and you know what I love about it? There's this little, like we talked about, you know, the effing aging standards. And you can be kind of sassy. You can be, you know, provocative. And that is fun.
Exactly. We love irreverence. We love sassy.
Irreverence.
Yes. We love fun.
I live in that space. It's not everyone appreciates it, but yeah, I think that, you know, when I was reading these, and there was a woman who had a t-shirt with a phrase that was like that. And I just had this idea, it's probably been done already, but this, you know, this notion of ask me my age, I'm happy to tell you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think That's another thing that we try to promote, is that embracing your age. So there are people who want to deny their age, which is fine. If you want to deny, you know, do what works for you. But we don't want, it helps to eliminate the shame when people embrace their age, right? And don't try to be ageless, so to speak, so.
Yes.
And then, you know, there are other, we're really leading into something else that is, I find really fascinating. There's a book that came out recently by someone named Becca Levy. She teaches, I think, at Stanford.
Yeah,
thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know her.
Yep. Yes. We've been in contact. Yes.
So we're really leaning into her her research that is in her book and the something called age beliefs, in particular, positive age beliefs. And so how they can actually improve your lifespan. So, and you may know this, but that she found that based on a longitudinal study, that if you hold positive beliefs about your age, you could live possibly an average of 7.5 years longer.
Mm-hmm. It's the research is so incredible. Mm-hmm. It's indisputable when you look at, you know, her work and how she set up these experiments. You can't believe it, how powerful right. this is.
And so we are really leaning into it when we present to aging services organizations, because imagine the power of promoting positive age beliefs among people who live in settings where they have perhaps healthcare issues or they have disabilities and they need help. But imagine that if you're promoting positive age beliefs, how that could, the effect that could have on outcomes. So.
Oh, yeah, it's a game changer.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, Meg, it's always fun to speak with you, and I share your excitement about these projects, and I really appreciate you coming on again to talk about, this is a newer project for you, the Art Against Ageism, and I wish you tons of
luck.
Thank
you. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us on Zestful Aging. If you like the podcast, please share it with some of your friends. If you think decluttering could help you feel better and you could use a little assistance with that, check out the online course I've developed with professional organizer and designer Carrie Luteran. It's called Too Much Stuff. And too much stuff is different from other courses or articles or guidance you may have used up. We give you clear steps to deal with the clutter and the tools to help you face the overwhelming feelings and the emotions that come up when we're going through our clutter. And a lot of those emotions are just feeling anxious or guilty or just basically flooded with a lot of different confusing feelings. The course is really practical. It's realistic. The lessons are short and punchy, and they're really manageable. We're not trying to set you up for some long, exploratory, you know, super in-depth, burdensome experience. We want something really helpful for you right now. We all need help with our anxiety. So, being surrounded by more calm and less chaos can really help. So now's a good time to clear out the clutter so we can focus on what's really important in our lives. So find out more at zestfulaging.com. You'll see more about this under the web courses tab. If you have any questions, just shoot me an email at zestfulaging@gmail.com. Thanks so much. And stay tuned next week for another interview with a fascinating and inspiring guest.